Don't look in the basement. The makers of Last House on the Left warn you again. To avoid fainting, keep repeating, it's only a movie. Only a movie. Only a movie. The line between sanity and madness can be crossed in a single step. And with this step, you enter the nightmare world of terror. On the day the insane took over the asylum, Judge Kamen, whose iron self-control hides the urge to kill, Harriet, a mother's love, twisted into the malignant shape of evil. The sergeant, living in the hell of an aimless war, fighting a battle within himself that he lost long ago. Allison, in a desperate need for love, an obsession that could drive her to murder. Danny, whose sense of humor triggers a violent act of revenge. Dr. Masters, who has her own idea of the gentle art of healing. And Charlotte, who left the world of sanity and security only to be trapped in the nightmare world of madness, a nightmare she cannot escape. They all met on the day the insane took over the asylum. Don't look in the basement. From Hallmark Releasing Corporation, rated R.
Where you going, Rudy?
I'm in the goddamn club, aren't I?
How long have I waited for you to come? I've been here all along. Now that you've arrived, please stay a while. And I promise I won't keep you long. I'll keep you for another minute.
Welcome to Reddit Horror Club 2, Dead by Dawn. You heard the preview to Don't Look in the Basement, this week's selection, which we talk about in addition to the previous two selections from this particular round. Thanks a lot for coming by and checking us out. And without any further ado, here's Anastasia and myself, the new hosts of the Reddit Horror Club.
Scrape the skin with my fingertips.
All right, I'm Anastasia Shells, but you can call me Anna. And I'm Redditor Discreetly Red, as you guys know me from Horror Club. I think I fell in love with horror when I was about 5. My favorite show at the time was Are You Afraid of the Dark? It came on Nickelodeon. Sure,
yes.
Some of you definitely remember
great
that show.
But
I think that's where I definitely fell in love with horror. And me and my best friend, when we were kids, when we were 10 years old, started doing a horror fest every year. We would go to Blockbuster and just grab whatever our parents would allow us to watch and binge watch all night long with a bunch of candy, which my
that's
parents
awesome.
Hated.
So that's basically like you did Netflix before there was Netflix, you know?
Yeah.
You know, people sit and binge watch stuff. Now you were doing that years and years ago. That's awesome. What were some of the movies that were like your favorite ones that like, you know, jump out at you?
I remember because, you know, we were young and our parents weren't super strict, but they weren't going to let us watch The Exorcist right off the bat. I think the first one that I remember watching was Just Bitten with Jim Carrey.
I remember that movie, yeah.
Yeah, you know, not a great movie at all. Really, really cheesy. But for a kid, you know, you're not even really thinking about if it's really classified as horror or not. If there's a vampire in it, it's horror.
Yeah.
And that was the one that we watched year one, because year one only had a few movies. Year one was like 2 or 3 Goosebumps VHSs and
nice.
Just Bitten.
awesome.
But year two, we moved it over to a friend's house who didn't have a lot of parental vision. So we got to watch, it was a triple feature. It was American Werewolf in London, The Exorcist, and Stephen King's It.
And so you would have been like 11 or 12 at this point?
We would have been 11.
Oh, dear God. Wow. I would have been petrified at that age. I can't pretend that like I got into like actual scary stuff until I was probably, honestly, I didn't even get really into it until almost college. So that's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah.
To think is to 11-year-olds watching that.
Yeah, we might not should have watched them at that age. We were wide awake for the entire rest of the evening. And
I'd imagine. Ugh.
Yeah, my best friend Katie had nightmares about clowns for years.
Clowns are pretty creepy. I still think they're creepy. I haven't even seen it all the way through just because I don't know. I just never have. I've heard so many people complain that it's not very good, that, and I like the book. So
the book is great. The movie is a shitty 80s. It was actually it was a miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, when you watched it on VHSs back in the 90s, it was a double tape. There were two tapes.
I kind of remember that. Yeah,
it was extra long. Yeah. But
you have a long storied history with horror, it sounds.
I was actually, my parents were big fans of the Tales from the Crypt series.
Okay.
When I was really little, I was actually terrified of the Crypt Keeper until I was at least 10. Yeah. I don't know why, because once I rewatched the entire series a few years ago, and it's so great, but it was not at all scary. But
right, he's probably the, I don't know, the least scary part about it. I'm looking at it now, but when I was a kid, I probably would have been scared too. I don't remember it as well when I was a kid. I feel like I saw bits and pieces here and there. Like I was saying, I didn't get really into horror until like college.
Right.
And it's not that I didn't like it. I just didn't like dive head first in. So like, you know, I watched Are You Afraid of the Dark, like religiously. I read the Goosebumps books. So like, you know, like I did that kind of stuff. But there were a lot of things like, you know, I didn't watch a lot of horror movies just because, I don't know, I don't think I had anyone that necessarily would have watched them with me. Then when I was in college, I just started binge watching a lot of stuff. Like we did, like I got a couple of guys in the hall I lived in. I was actually an RA, and I would literally like put like movie nights together, and we'd watch like the first four, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, and then the next week we watched the other four. You know,
right.
We'd rent things like Ice Cream Man and let's see, Uncle Sam, the ridiculous things because the box covers were hilarious. A lot of them had Clint Howard in them for some reason. so,
yeah, he was the king of B-movies for a long time.
He really was. And it's funny, since his brother is like Mr. Hollywood, since he was like a little kid, and his, you know, he's the funny-looking weird guy who was like a goofy sidekick or a weird horror guy. So
yeah, Ron did put him in a lot of his movies, though, just to give him work.
Yeah, he was always like a little minor role, but he definitely had a ton of roles in Ron's movies.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so like we watched like everything from like Ridiculous to, you know, the classics, and I started to fall in love with horror at that point. My wife doesn't really watch horror because she gets horrible nightmares when she watches horror, and she doesn't dislike it while she's awake and watching it, but it kind of messes with her. So we don't watch a ton of it. Especially not stuff that's really gory. She can do with, like, psychological horror, but not, like, gory stuff. So these days, most of my horror watching is by myself in the bedroom while she's sewing downstairs. So I tend to watch them alone. But I do have a nice TV, and it's pretty pretty comfortable in my bed, so I can't complain. So,
right on.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, and I don't know. I'd have a hard time saying what my favorite horror movie or style of horror movie it is. I kind of like a lot of different stuff. I think that I know the kind of stuff I don't like more than the kind of stuff I do. Like, I don't like torture porn at all.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Although I've watched more than I care to admit.
Yeah, that's fair. I saw, like, the first Saw movie is not awful. It's before, it's actually kind of interesting, kind of a, you know, puzzle. And I know that there was always still that puzzle aspect. But when I started watching, like, the sequels, I was like, yeah, I can't do this. And then Hostel and, you know, I watched maybe a couple of those. And then every time I saw something, like, that looked like it might be that, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not interested. And, like, to this day, I can't get through Last House on the Left all the way, the original. There are just scenes that I just can't do, you know.
I've watched the original Last House on the Left multiple times all the way through and own a copy.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that. I do like The Virgin Spring, though, the movie it's based on, quite a bit, which is not necessarily a horror, though. So it's just, but it is about a rape, you know, so.
Well, yeah. Ingmar Bergman. Oof. Those are some weighty films.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. The tone is so different, you know, but it's the same basic story. But, yeah, I can't do a lot of the realistic, torture-y gore. But other than that, I probably am willing to give everything else a try. And even so, when people pick those movies with the horror club, I still watch them. I don't necessarily enjoy them, but I do watch them.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
too.
Go ahead.
The funny thing about part of the reason why I've watched as many of those as I have, which it's kind of been a running joke in the horror club, but I have a notoriously weak stomach.
Okay.
Which is really funny for a horror fan. Because I recently watched Eli Roth's Green Inferno with a group of friends.
Oh,
and over the course of the movie, everyone just saw my face get paler and paler.
Oh, no.
And paler. And they were like, Anna, are you okay? And then I just, like, fell forward. They all had to catch me.
Oh, man. Did you throw up or did you laugh without that?
Well, like, when I started feeling weak, I told, like, my group of friends that I was going to the bathroom, and our friend Holland's older brother, who's, like, a lot older than him, is like, are you okay? Do you need anything? If you want, you can just stay in here with me and watch Star Trek. I was like, I'm good.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't think I could watch that. There you go. There's a subgenre of movies that I don't do. It's cannibal movies. Things that fall under that subgenre I can watch that aren't awful, but like I can't do a lot of that stuff. I give it a try. You know, I tried watching. I think I made it through Cannibal Holocaust once, but it wasn't all in one sitting. And actually,
yeah.
Some of the ones that are not quite as harsh I can watch. But when I saw a preview for Green Inferno, I'm like, I'm good. I can do without that. But on the other hand, he put out another movie last year, Knock Knock, which was actually one of my favorite Eli Roth movies. Well, not that I'm saying a lot, because I don't necessarily love the guy. But I thought that was a pretty fantastic movie.
I have not watched that one yet.
It's a horror flick. It's starring Keanu, and an actor that I used to think was a joke, and I've actually really, he's really, really grown on me. And in the movies, it's interesting. I mean, the premise is pretty rough, as a father watching it, but, as a husband and a father watching that movie, it's pretty, insane actually, but it's definitely very much, a movie that I would recommend to people. It's a bit of a head fuck, but it's definitely worth watching. So there you go. There's a recommendation already, but, Let's that's a little bit about us. I don't even know if I did I say my name? Did I say I was Justin? I think I did. But I'm Justin, aka Saint Mort Fan. I picked that name just because I was gonna start trolling Matt on Reddit because I never was on Reddit before. And then next thing you know, it just became my name. So it is what it is. I do like Saint Mort. he has a fantastic podcast. So, you know, I do miss that he used to do it weekly, and now it's kind of monthly-ish because he's doing Horror Movie Night, which is also a pretty great podcast. But I really did love St. Mort. So, you know, the name is true as well. I am a St. Mort fan. So, yeah. So why don't we move into – well, I guess maybe I'll describe for everyone, since it's our first episode, what our kind of format is going to be. We're going to have introductions that are much shorter than today's because, you know, today we're just trying to tell you a little bit about ourselves. But then we're going to move into just a little bit about the kind of things we watched or read or whatever in the horror world this week. And we're going to jump right into our feature presentation. And that's kind of our basic format as far as how we're going to do it. Yeah. So what have you been watching or reading or spending your time doing in the last week or so?
In the last week or so, what have I been doing? Not reading anything. If I'm being honest, I've been playing a lot of Skyrim. Like,
I've honestly never played a lot of games. I kind of like lost track after like the original Xbox with games. I'm pretty far behind. I have little kids that are 5 and 7. I think once the boys get into video games, I won't have a choice but to get into them a little bit. But as of right now, I've kind of shied away from it. But I have heard of Skyrim. What is Skyrim?
Skyrim is the 5th installment in the Elder Scrolls series, it's kind of like a Tolkien-ish world. There's elves and orcs and, but there's also several different types of human races. And when you come into Skyrim, it's in the midst of a civil war, and dragons are coming back for the first time in centuries, and you are the Dragonborn. You can speak like the dragon's language.
Kind of like speaking Parseltongue in Harry Potter. You can speak to the snakes. I'm a big Harry Potter fan.
I have read all the books. I read them as they came out as a kid and, you know, eagerly awaited going to the bookstore in the summer when they were released.
Awesome.
So I feel young.
I've
been playing a lot of Elder Scrolls because I've been achievement hunting, essentially, and I'm working on this last achievement, which is to collect all the Daedric artifacts.
Okay. So with Elder Scrolls, are the series, is it like role-playing kind of stuff, like RPG kind of stuff, or is it, like, what's
it's
the style?
It's definitely an RPG.
Okay, it is. Cool.
It's a big open world. There's lots of radial quests, so you could level up your character indefinitely.
I think the only RPG I ever played, at least it, with any particular, well, two. One was Knights of the Old Republic, because I'm a Star Wars geek. And I guess I played the second one, but I didn't like it as much. And that was on Xbox, the original, so like I said, I haven't really played anything since. And the other being Kingdom of Loathing. Are you familiar with Kingdom of Loathing?
No. I didn't actually get into gaming until not that long ago.
Oh, okay.
The earlier years of the Xbox 360, my ex-boyfriend was a huge gamer, and if I wanted to spend any time with him, I was going to have to become one.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Kingdom of Loathing is just a website. It's kingdomofloathing.com, and it's like a stick figure RPG that mocks the whole RPG thing. It's pretty hilarious because it mocks basically everything. Not just that, and it's just a goofy game, like, and you're like I wish I could remember what they're all called, but like you the titles of the style, the classes of characters are things like pasta sorcerer and weird things like that, so it's just really weird. But I was pretty addicted to that and started my own clan and that and weird stuff for like 6 months or so, and then I got tired of it. So, I don't know if I got tired of it or my work put in a new internet filter and I couldn't get on it at work anymore. So, that does happen. I over the last couple weeks, I have been reading actually a book about zombie films called The Zombie Film. It's like a big, like, coffee table type book. And it's just the history of zombie films from, like, the very beginning stuff to now. And I'm actually pretty close to done with it. I really enjoyed it through. It's been something that I've just kind of been thumbing through for, I don't know, probably a couple months, actually. But it's something I just stumbled across when walking through the library, and, you know, picked it up, and I've renewed it as often, as many times as I can, just so I could keep, you know, thumbing through it. So, I also, my wife and I just got into the Making a Murderer thing that everybody's into, on Netflix, and it is infuriating.
Infuriating?
It's such an indictment of the justice system. And I work for the justice system, and I already have a very dismal view on it. So it's pretty rough. But it's a very interesting, thing that if anybody's into a kind of true crime and, anything to do with the justice system, I would definitely recommend it. It's 10 one-hour episodes. We're about, I think we have three more to go, and we only started it.
I keep meaning to watch it, but my boyfriend's not big into true crime, so I feel like those are the things that I have to watch alone.
Fair. My wife and I got into the Paradise Lost series on the West Memphis 3 years ago, and ever since we've kind of dug this kind of stuff. So, and like the Serial podcast and all that.
I love the Serial podcast. You know, they're updating it this season.
I know.
I've listened to the first episode. I want to know what happened.
It's interesting. I really hope Adnan gets a new trial, but I digress.
Thank you. we digress.
And I actually also just got in the mail, yesterday, Lynch on Lynch, David Lynch, of talking about his movies. A pretty fantastic read, I'm told, so I'm excited. Going to be rewatching a bunch of David Lynch movies and then reading what he has to say on them after I do, so I'm quite excited for that as well.
I'm a big, big David Lynch fan. For my 18th birthday, my father gave me his book on meditation.
Oh, interesting.
Fascinating.
Yeah, David Lynch on meditation definitely sounds fascinating to me.
It's a good read.
And I live in the Philly area, so like David Lynch is kind of an institution here because of like Eraserhead and stuff. So it's interesting. You know, I know that I have to get more into him than I have, and so I'm kind of forcing myself to do it because I think I will appreciate it quite a bit. So I will have to report back once I do. I'll be writing about it for another website. Before we started recording, I mentioned to you that I write for multiple websites and I'm doing multiple podcasts. I'm highly overambitious right now when it comes to my internet presence, I believe. But one of the websites I write for is called Synapse, and it's all it's a movie website. And that's one of the things I do is I have a friend of mine who's one of the editors there who gives me assignments. And sometimes he's just doing it to see how far he can push me. And other times it's to, if you will, broaden my horizon. So he gave me a choice of a couple different directors, and I chose David Lynch. So that's where I'm going with that. So like I said, if you say he's great, then it's just another person telling me that he's great. And I've only watched a few of his films, and I'm going to get a chance to watch quite a few more. Yeah, so I guess this brings us to our feature presentations.
And now our feature presentation.
So I guess we'll start chronologically and talk about the first film, which was my selection, Wild Zero. So had you seen Wild Zero before?
Just to let you know, still didn't quite fit that one in. I actually rejoined the club like right after you guys.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I do highly recommend it. And I'll just give a brief couple points about it rather than get deep into it. Wild Zero, the basic plot is simple. It's a zombie movie, a zombie alien movie. I don't really know how to classify it. But it's very like punk rock. It's this band called Guitar Wolf that's a garage rock band from Japan. They're actually a garage rock band from Japan. The director was so into them that he decided they would be like the people who fought the zombies. So he asked them to be in the movie, and then they did the whole soundtrack. And so it's quite a punk feel, like the Greaser old kind of style.
Cool.
You know, Ramones-y kind of stuff. And then, basically the main characters are this guy Ace and the girl he falls in love with, which is just Tobio, and then the Guitar Wolf guys. So essentially, really all you need to know is that they play zombies. Although I will say what's really interesting, something that stuck out to me, is in the midst of this kind of goofy, fun, horror comedy, more, it's not horror comedy in slapstick way, but just like funny scenarios, the one thing that jumped out at me, which I found interesting, was that they made a point to make a pro LGBT kind of thing. I don't know what to call it, because Tobio is either transgender or is a man or is something, even though you initially think that she's a woman. Because Ace freaks out because he finds out that she's got a penis. But then the guy from Guitar Wolf tells him, like, love has no bounds, and they end up together. So it's interesting that they made that point in the midst of this ridiculous movie. And I found that pretty cool, because it's not the kind of thing you see in the horror world a lot.
That's fair.
Yeah. And so, I mean, mind you, I'm not super familiar with Japanese horror comedies, but I don't think it's probably that common in those either. But that was really the only point that's different than the fact that I think it's just kind of a fun, great tone. Like I said, I'm a punk rock guy, so the fact that it's punk rock makes me happy. And I chose it, in all honesty, because I'm writing a piece on it for another website that I'm going to be doing, like a punk movie a month, and because it's a punk site. I decided I would be covering that first because I picked it for this. So I kind of like wove two things together, you know. So
that works.
So that's really it about Wild Zero. I do recommend you watch it, because I think it's a lot of fun.
I will watch it. I will.
Okay. Oh, I believe you. I'll hold you to it, though. All right. Well, then we'll go into Dog Soldiers. You did watch Dog Soldiers.
I did indeed watch Dog Soldiers.
Was this your first time watching Dog Soldiers?
It was not.
Okay.
It was my second time watching Dog Soldiers. And the first time since 2002.
Okay, so you saw it when it was new.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see Dog Soldiers before all the way through, and I saw clips and stuff, and I always thought it was something I wanted to watch because I thought it looked really awesome. I don't really necessarily have a lot of experience with werewolf movies, even though the ones I've seen mostly I like. So if I say my top five werewolf movies, they're probably really the five werewolf movies that are off the top of my head, because I really can't think of that many more. But I really love, you know, American Werewolf in London. I do really love, yeah, you said yeah, that was one of your first horror-thon movies, so.
It was.
You know, I'm sure you have fond memories.
I do.
Yeah, definitely a fun movie. And I love that it's influenced so many other movies. I actually didn't see it till after I'd seen Idle Hands, which is, you obviously, I'm assuming you've seen Idle Hands.
Yes, it was a round one pick, I believe.
I was not involved until a few rounds ago, so.
Yeah. It was a round one pick that Redditor Idle Hand himself picked.
There you go. That's a good choice, then.
Blast from the past, guys.
Well, hey, hopefully some of the old heads come back that haven't been around, but that's awesome. I'm a big fan of that movie. I always just thought it was a lot of fun, and I saw it in the theater, actually, and so I didn't realize that the whole, like, dead friends thing was kind of a homage to an older movie until I was in, a couple years later, I'd seen American Werewolf, and I was like, oh, well, that's obviously where they got that from.
Yep.
Which I thought was an awesome thing. The way both of the movies did it was differently, but it was still, like, obviously an homage to the old movie, so that was really cool. But outside of that and this movie and probably one or two others, if I start thinking about it, that are at least werewolf movies, there's probably a lot of movies with werewolves in them that I've seen. Like my favorite transformation scene in any movie, this is weird. It's not gruesome, but for some reason I like it. I'm like, probably just because of the fact I'm obsessed with Harry Potter, but I really love the scene where Lupin turns into a werewolf. Not sure why. I think the CG is done really well. It is CG, though. It's obviously CG. But I think it's done really well. And I think it's just because I have fond memories of that movie more than that scene. So, I don't know. That's just me. So, what did you think about Dog Soldiers the second time around here?
First time around, I think I remember liking it. Second time around, my feelings have changed a little. I don't know. Ooh. Like, it's not that I don't like it. It's just, I don't know. I found myself bored at some point.
I could see getting bored at some point. I could see. There were moments where I drifted off. The danger of watching a movie with my phone nearby is always looming. So I definitely drifted off at a few moments. But I found some of the kills to be really awesome. The early impalement, I thought, was great, right? The beginning of, like, the first, you know, time that they you see people get killed, really. Other than, well, I guess the opening scene, people get killed. But the impalement, I love. And the head rip later is pretty awesome when the beast just completely, or the werewolf just rips the guy's head off.
I think the kills were definitely good. There were just stretches in between the kills that I could have gone without.
that's fair. And I think I also resonated with the movie because, so I mentioned briefly the fact that I work for the government. I work for the Department of Corrections, actually, in the great state of Pennsylvania, or Commonwealth, as it were. And that said, it's interesting because I grew up a punk rock kid and have a strong distrust for the government, so it's kind of weird that I work for the government, but you know, I there's a lot of weird psychological stuff I could probably get into with that. But the point of the story is the fact that the movie definitely indicted the government and the military culture in many ways, I guess I vibe with that. Because, you know, for you to find out that the government was actually, you know, or the military was actually sending an entire squad in as bait, you know, is, you know, really horrible, but at the same time, completely believable. I hate to say that, but it really is to me. Like, I would believe that could easily happen. And the military culture as a whole, like, you know, the early on in the beginning when they won't let him become part of the special forces because he won't kill a dog, you know, that's ridiculous.
But, yeah.
So,
glad he didn't kill the dog, but then
I am glad he didn't kill the dog too.
But then the evil bastard did.
Yeah, yeah, he was an evil bastard. He got his. He did get his. So it's all
he
right.
He did get his, indeed.
Yeah. And I do my favorite quote in the movie, and I think I posted this on Reddit, but I just love the line. The woman asks the one guy, "What happened?" And he goes, "What happened? We were attacked by huge fucking howling things. That's what happened." And I just, for some reason, I cracked up. I was just like, that is great. You know, are you a werewolf person in general? Like, do you like werewolf movies?
I'd say I'd probably be 50-50, because I've seen terrible ones, and then I've seen decent ones, you know?
Right.
So
what are some other terrible ones you've seen? Like, what are ones that jump out to you?
I think they're not so great. But there's these movies in the 80s, I want to say they were called, like, The Howling or something.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people call the original Howling one of the best transformations outside of, you know, the main one being American Werewolf. A lot of people cite the first one, but I do think the series is quite uneven. I'm not a big fan of the Howling series myself.
Yeah, it's not great. And then do I need to even mention the Underworld movies? Because they're...
Here, Dirty Secret, I really kind of like the Underworld movies.
Why?
Because they're just cheesy fun. But I will say they're not good. I just like them.
That's fair.
You know, there's definitely movies that I could admit that are not good, but I like them.
That's fair.
And the other thing is, I did find Rise of the Lycans, or whatever the heck the one that was like a prequel, actually to be one of the better of the series, because it was actually made a little more sense and didn't have all the weird futuristic crap in it. But I do like that series, even though it's horrible. But yes, it is horrible. So I guess I probably agree with you. I'm kind of 50-50 on werewolf movies too, and I liked this one quite a bit. Probably not enough to like go watch it again now, but I'll probably watch it, visit it again in a couple of years, you know, and see what I think again. So
I'm a much bigger fan of Neil Marshall's The Descent.
You know what? I have not seen The Descent.
You've not seen The Descent.
I know. It's crazy.
I believe it was my pick in like round 4 or 5.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite horror movies.
I've heard so many good things about it, so it's definitely something I have to remedy. But I have not seen it, and I have at least
5 or 6 women who go spelunking. What good could happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty certain that I would never go spelunking, and I'm sure that if I watch this movie, I'd even have less chance of going spelunking. But
yeah,
it's interesting that that's one of your favorite movies when the director is the same as this movie and you're not really a big fan.
Yeah.
But I guess there's a lot of directors that I'm hit or miss on. So, you know,
that's,
I guess it depends.
Fair.
So, all right, well then, let's go to the current pick, this week's pick, which Adam, after he found out we were doing a podcast this week, was like, don't cover this movie. It's not a good movie. I did it to fuck with you guys. But I didn't think it wasn't a good movie by any means.
No.
But that said, I don't think it was as bad as I expected it to be. You know how people say, well, that really shouldn't work, but it does? I felt the opposite about this movie. I thought the concept was really interesting, but it doesn't work.
It does not work at all. But also, the concept is extremely dangerous. Like, I don't care what kind of psychobabble voodoo you're serving your patients, but you should, regardless of what experimental you're doing, knives are not safe in an insane asylum.
Right. And axes even less so.
Yes, exactly.
I will say that axe killing in the beginning, the abruptness of it happening did catch me off guard, because I knew something bad was going to happen with the axe. I mean, that's obvious. But he was having like a regular conversation, and for some reason, having not seen the movie before, I thought the doctor was going to play some role as like experimenting on people and being evil, and so I didn't think he was going to die that way. And then next thing you know, he's in the middle of a conversation, the axe is like right in his back. Boom. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it does take you off guard a little bit if you have know nothing about the movie.
So, you said you have some other thoughts about the movie. Were there any parts of it that like, really stuck out as, like, you're like, what the fuck? Or, you know?
Taste. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's what she says to, what's his name, Judge?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Nymphomaniac was memorable.
Yeah.
I think she tried to have sex with every male that was there.
I'm pretty sure that's correct. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And she was an interesting character, and I like the old lady who thought the flowers were her children. I did like that particular weird thing, and I definitely found the fact that you know, when they discovered her having no tongue and bloody mouth was pretty creepy. I guess the concept, as bad, like, you're right, obviously the concept of what he was doing is awful and should never happen, but I thought it was the kind of concept that would make a movie that would work, at least if it was done right. And it definitely wasn't done right, and maybe it couldn't work, maybe it's just a bad concept, but for some reason I thought it would be a decent concept when I got the framework in a little bit before I actually watched the movie. I kind of looked it up a little, and I don't have a lot to say. I think the one redeeming thing, or the one redeeming character, is Sam. I like him. I like him in his boat.
And his popsicles.
You know, I like him, but that's really all I can say positive about the movie, honestly. I like him.
Yeah. A side note, the main actress who plays Nurse Beale,
mm-hmm.
she was on the cover of the April 1972 Playboy.
Interesting. So she was a Playboy cover girl, huh? Interesting.
She was. April 1972.
And that was only a couple years prior to this, right? Or a year. This was 73, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a little earlier. She's married to, I believe his name is Charlie Waters. He played for Dallas in the 70s.
Oh, interesting. Huh.
Yeah. So she's married to a former NFL
star,
dude.
Yeah.
And I don't know what position he played because I'm not a football fan.
I am, but I don't remember his position. The name's definitely familiar. I tend to block out Cowboys because I kind of hate the Cowboys. But that just comes with the territory when you're in Philly. So
she lives in Dallas now. She's a real estate agent. I looked up her page. I looked up her page on the real estate. You could call her office right now.
Wow. Well, I think it's crazy that she had like a high profile thing with like a, and then she was in this movie like at the height of her popularity. Interesting. I don't think I would have chosen this as a career move. And maybe that was why she's not in Hollywood and she's a real estate agent now. I'm not sure.
Could be.
So of these three movies, right? You know, we decided that we were going to say we were going to stash or trash the movies and kind of say which ones we think we want to keep and which ones we would never watch again. So which ones of these, if there's one of these, well, you only have two to vote on because you have not seen Wild Zero yet. But of those two movies, are either ones that you would stash, that you would, you know, keep on your list?
I will stash... my mind went blank.
Dog Soldiers?
Yes, I will stash Dog Soldiers, but I have to trash The Forgotten.
Or Don't Look in the Basement, or whatever the heck it's called.
It's got two titles.
I just wrote about a movie. I actually wrote about Cannibal Holocaust, too, weirdly enough, even though I said I don't like cannibal movies. But it's really not a Cannibal Holocaust movie. They only use that title to sell it. But it's a real title, well, one of its 14 real titles, is The Green Inferno. And so I thought it was interesting, you know, that came up today. But it's one of those movies that has multiple titles. And they always confuse the hell out of me when I can't find a movie because it's listed as something else or whatever. I will also trash that movie, though, that Don't Look in the Basement / The Forgotten. It was not a movie that I intend on watching again, ever. And maybe Adam is right for saying that he was fucking with us, but I'm actually not upset I watched it. I'm just sure I'm not going to watch it again. And it wasn't because it was unpleasant or anything. It was maybe a little unpleasant, but it just wasn't good.
It was bad.
I think that I consolidate the moment. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's evidenced by the fact that you can watch it on YouTube for nothing.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And there are some decent movies that you can watch for nothing, but most of the ones on YouTube, no, you're right. that is fair. I will definitely stash the other two. I really like Wild Zero a lot. It's one that I will continue to watch probably every now and again. And I like Dog Soldiers enough. Like I said, I want to revisit it, you know, in a couple years probably. Both movies that I enjoyed. So, is there anything that you're looking forward to coming up in the next, you know, week between now and when we talk again?
Let me quickly pull up the list of movies just to refresh myself. I am of course looking forward to my pick, which for you guys who aren't sure what it is that I picked, it's a Slenderman movie.
Interesting. I don't know a whole lot about the Slenderman myth other than the fact that, you know, teenage girls have like killed for it.
Which is a crazy thing. Indeed. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Although, side note about Slender Man, I was at a my kids always do their trick or treating. We don't live in a very trick or treating is not great in our area. It's not like it was when I was growing up. When I lived in a more urban area, there was tons of trick or treaters because you know houses are right next to each other. It's you know, and I live on like a main road in the freaking boondocks now. So like. You know, like 30 miles outside of the center city of Philly. And that said, they always do their trick-or-treating at this, like, thing called Trunk or Treat at the church down the street for us. And what they do is, like, anybody can sign up to bring their car, and they bring their car, and it's decorated, and they give candy out the back of their trunks. And
they do that at the churches around here, too.
Okay, cool. And I think it's fun, you know? I mean... And that's what they do. But we're there, and there's this kid, and he's dressed as Slender Man. And I thought that was kind of creepy because he was, like, six. And I don't know. There's something about that kind of freaked me out. A six-year-old who even knows what Slender Man is, much less wants to be Slender Man. I'm hoping he just thought it was a cool-looking costume. But
well,
I guess we'll see.
I was a child who definitely went as some pretty creepy things over the years. So, I mean, I can identify with the guy, you know.
Okay, that's fair. Well, and my 7-year-old, his name's Cash, after Johnny, he this year was his second as being, like, a classic, like, universal monster type.
Right.
He was just a skeleton-style character last year, but it looked great, and this year he wanted to be Dracula, and next year he wants to be a Wolfman, so... Hey, I enjoy the classic Universal monsters, so I have no problem with that.
Yeah, that's good.
So your movie in a few, I guess about a month now, you're closing out our thing is a Slender Man movie. Okay, looking at the list of movies, I don't know anything about the next pick. That's more St. Mort's pick. That's Matt's pick. But after that is Cannon's pick, Housebound, and I actually really like that, so I'm excited to revisit that.
I don't know anything about it, if I'm being honest.
I think you'll be surprised, or maybe not surprised, but I think you'll enjoy it. It's definitely an interesting movie, and I guess you'd call it a horror comedy, but it's horror for sure. It's an interesting flick, so that's good. And you know, other things that I'm looking forward to, just in general, I'm kind of looking forward to writing a bunch of stuff because I'm getting back into writing and actually looking forward to down the road in this podcast, which I didn't even tell you this yet. I have some prizes to give away, so I'll talk about that next week. So for folks that are listening to the podcast and part of the Reddit club and whatever, I'll have a couple things you can win. So I'll talk about that next week. So that's what I'm
Sweet.
Looking forward to. Awesome. Do you have any anything you want to plug or tell people to check out before we roll?
Well, since you guys are listening to this, clearly I don't need to plug this. I will announce to them that I'm going to be writing for your blog soon.
Woohoo!
Woo! Working through some writer's block. Hopefully I should have a short story up there soon. And maybe talk metal. Woo!
Awesome. That sounds good to me. And I always use the opportunity of trying to snag people to write for my site. So if anyone listening wants to write about anything, talk to me, pitch me. I'm totally interested. My website's kind of really wide open of the kind of stuff. It's just if it's art or culture related, I'm probably cool with it. So as far as anything else I want to plug, you know, I write for synapse.co, not .com. Long story about that. I write for Cinepunks, which is .com, which I've only written one or two things for, but that's a podcast that's exactly what it sounds like. It's punk dudes who are into movies. So friends of mine, I plug them a lot on my other podcasts, and I have other podcasts. If you're listening to this and you're listening to it via my website where it's posted, you'll see I have a bunch of other crap up there. So check it out. But if you don't want to check it out, that's cool with me too. So, well, thanks for joining us for our first episode, and hopefully we get this this down and it becomes a lot of fun, and hopefully we get to have you guys come join us.
Yeah. Come back, guys.
All right. I'll talk to you next week, Anna.
Indeed.
All right, y'all. Thanks for sticking with us this first episode. We'll be back every week, hopefully, to share about the weekly pick. If you're just discovering us via the Farsighted website or via iTunes or wherever, head on over to the Reddit Horror Club, which is r/horrorclub on Reddit, and check it out. We pick a movie a week, and we're going to talk about it here, and we talk about it over there at the Reddit page. So it's a lot of fun, and if you come join us, you get to make selections too. So next week we'll see you, probably a little bit shorter of an episode, and I appreciate again that you're hanging with us. We're going to work out the kinks, and I'm going to hopefully not steamroll Anna, because I totally feel like I did. Talk a little too much. I'm not used to having a partner when I do a podcast. So, my apologies. She has a much sweeter, nicer voice that you'd rather hear anyway. So hopefully I can shut my mouth a little more often. All right, y'all. This is where we need a clever sign off. I don't have one. Maybe next time.
If anyone's interested, let me know. And so I'm glad that Misfit, I don't even know his real name. What's his real name?
I don't know either.
Yeah, oh well.
Don. That's it. It's Don. Sorry, Don.